Greetings, everyone. It's time for the Reduced Shakespeare Radio Show.
Yes, the Reduced Shakespeare Radio Show, featuring the Reduced Shakespeare Company. My name is Reed Martin. I'm here with Austin Titchener and Adam Long.
I'm Adam Long. I'm here with Reed Martin and Austin Titchener.
I'm Austin Titchener. I'm here with Adam Long and Reed Martin.
That was Austin Titchener. I'm Reed Martin.
I'm Adam Long.
I'm Austin Titchener, and until the cows come home,
we are the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Today, we will be devoting an entire half hour to Shakespeare's most popular play about two Italian kids that kill themselves, Romeo and Juliet.
Yes, and we have spared every expense in bringing you captivating audio entertainment. Our research has been impeccable.
Exemplary.
I know what impeccable means.
Sorry.
Exquisite, fastidious, excellent, irreproachable.
Right. Hey, Reed, can I tell the people about all the stuff I brought?
Absolutely.
Well, I just thought, you know, with this being like radio, that I should bring in some sound effects and other stuff to help.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah, sure. So I brought this synthesizer. This can help with music and different sound effects. And I got this drum machine. The drum machine is particularly good for rim shots so that people know the jokes are funny. Oh. Check it out.
Excellent.
Good
idea.
Yeah.
But you know, this newfangled digital stuff is just too darned easy. So I brought along some good old-fashioned organic sound effects as well.
Oh, that's what this pile is.
That's what it is. Right, Austin. Very check nice. It out. See? Pots, pans, fruits, vegetables.
Cool, I can use this.
Some power tools. They're always good. Tiny little animal.
Do we have room for all this in here?
Well, sure we do. See, I figure that every episode we could have like a special sound effect of the day, and then we can use that sound effect throughout the show.
Like how?
Well, like for instance, okay, today's sound effect of the day is a hammer hitting a head of lettuce.
And what does that sound like?
Like this.
It's not really much of a sound effect, is it? What would you use it for?
Well, I don't know. Well, maybe like when listeners hear it, they could call in and win a prize.
Like what?
I don't know. How about one of these?
Oh, wow, that is so cool.
What is that?
I don't know, but I think it's great. Look what it does.
Whoa, that is amazing.
I know.
And do those things detach?
They detach, well, that's cool. They come right off.
Oh man.
No, I think it's supposed to
it
do
It is
that.
Supposed to. See, now look what happens if you plug it in.
Yeah. Oh,
man, that was great. I've never seen anything
see
like
colors.
That.
I know,
it was really cool.
How can we describe this for the people at home? You could say, well, no, that's not really that.
I don't think it's describable.
Well, anyway, should we get on with Romeo and Juliet?
Okie dokie pokey.
Rootin' tootin' Rasputin.
Excellent. Well, i'faith of a chameleon's dish, I eat the air. Without any further ado, we present what is certainly Shakespeare's most popular play, his romantic tragedy. Can I have a little fanfare, please? Romeo and Juliet. Is it indeed the story of two teenage sweethearts from Verona whose love is doomed to fail because of their feuding families, or is it simply, as Adam said, about two Italian kids who kill themselves? Or is it a poetic monument to the irrational passion of youth?
I thought it was about sex.
You think everything's about sex.
But at least I know what sex is.
Yeah, well, at least I don't wear funny shoes.
Well, at least I don't have a big nose.
Well, at least I'm not bald. Sorry, Reed. Sorry.
You went too far, Adam. See? This is a very good example of how a feud gets started.
I'm really sorry, man. I didn't mean it.
That's okay.
I really like what you've done with your scalp today, man.
Thank you. Hey, Adam, come here a minute. I want to show you something.
What?
This!
Oh! No! Stop it!
No, it's always funny till Adam gets hurt.
And then it's even funnier. Hey, Adam, I like what you've done with your scalp today.
One of these days, man, I'm
But seriously, folks, did you know that according to documents found in Shakespeare's portfolio, Juliet had a ravenous appetite and would eat three portions at every meal?
That's true, and there is no record in the play of Romeo taking her out to an expensive restaurant to eat.
That's because Romeo'd what Juliet.
Wow, excellent.
And now, with no further ado, the Reduced Shakespeare Company is proud to present the bard's immoral tragedy, Romeo and Juliet.
On the streets of Verona, servants of rival households are about to meet.
I say,
do you bite your thumb at me, sir?
I do but bite my thumb, sir.
Do you bite your thumb at me, sir?
I do not bite my thumb at you, sir. I do but bite my thumb.
I say unto you, sir, that thou liest.
I am afeard then, sirrah, I needs must poke thee in thine eye.
Ouch, and I will then pull your hair.
Ooh, that smarts. Stomach punch?
Be my guest.
Oof.
Ouch. Yikes.
It's the prince!
Rebellious subjects, enemies of the peace, profanos of this neighbor's stained steel. What the heck is going on here?
It's audio footnote time!
Alert listeners will no doubt have noticed that this is an adapted version of Romeo and Juliet. In this modern age of 7-second sound bites and diminished attention spans, the practice of translating classic works of literature into the modern vernacular is becoming more and more common. This is done to maintain the flagging interest of you, the discerning radio listener, and also for the benefit of the actors, a term we use in its most generous sense.
That was audio footnote time!
Who was that?
An announcer, my lord.
Have him destroyed. And so I exhort you, my subject, I implore you, call an end to this feud.
But then there'd be no play.
Oh. Well, carry on then.
Thank you, sir.
By the way, Adam, what happened to your hair?
Read be nice.
Okay, okay. Farewell, Capulet. Farewell, Slick. Ha ha!
So, where were we?
Machine guns.
Right, machine guns. Shall we?
Certainly. We're back!
We're front!
We're sideways, and right now, here's a word from our sponsor.
Diverticulitis.
Thank you. Well, the stage is now set for the meeting of the two young lovers, but I must say that for a play about illicit teenage sex, things so far have been remarkably sex-free. Adam, how are things adding up?
Excellent! I'm already in Pipe World, and I've got 32 Marios lined up!
Are you playing games on the company computer?
Well, what if I am, man? What if I am? I didn't want to do this play in the first place. Romeo and Juliet is a stupid play. It's got too many words.
Adam, that's ridiculous!
No, it's not, man. Romeo is a total dork. Romeo is...
What?
Look, he's totally in love with Rosalind at the beginning of the play, and then 5 seconds later, he's ready to die for Juliet. I think he should die. I think it's a very good idea.
He's just young. But nevertheless, Adam, you shouldn't be playing games on the company computer. It's strictly for use as a Shakespearean database.
And Adam, you know the rule.
No, I don't.
Adam, what's the rule?
When Romeo and Juliet call, Super Mario Brothers have to wait.
Exactly. Now, I'm asking you nicely, Adam. Please access the sex toad board and tell us how things are adding up so far.
I'll do it, Reed.
Come on!
All right, it looks like no teenage sex so far, Reed. In fact, not even any teenagers.
Wow.
But the violence so far certainly bodes well for the S&M department down the line.
I can't believe you dumped my game. That is so uncool.
What's that?
A phone.
Whoa, I haven't heard one of those in years.
I thought we were always supposed to leave the machine on.
Why?
Well, what if it's somebody we don't want to talk to?
Like who?
Like your Auntie Hilda.
Oh, geez, that's true. You better answer it, Adam.
Why do I have to answer it?
Because I say so, okay?
Okay, jeez. Hello?
Hello, I have a question and a comment. I'm concerned that you're using Romeo and Juliet to promote premarital sex and corrupt our children's values. I'm very much against sex education. I'm wondering what your views are on the matter.
Uh-oh, I think it is your Auntie Hilda.
Well, tell her I'm not here.
Don't worry, I'll handle this. hello, caller?
Yes?
I can assure you that the Reduced Shakespeare Company believes in traditional family values and that sex education does not belong in schools or on the airwaves.
Right on.
That's a relief. I was worried that this episode might go a little too far in its sexual content.
No, we believe in the old ways, that children should learn about sex on the streets and in the back alleys, not in a cold, clinical way from their parents or teachers.
Good.
Yes, I think we need to keep a healthy mystique about sex, and the best way to do that is through paranoia, half-truths, and misinformation.
I couldn't agree more. Let's keep sex in the gutter where it belongs.
Thanks for the call.
Hey, wait a minute. Something funny was going on there. That didn't sound like Reed's Auntie Hilda.
Yes, that's true, Adam, and that's because Reed's Auntie Hilda was not actually Reed's Auntie Hilda, but our own Reed Martin professional impressionist.
Thank you very much.
Reed, that was another amazing impression, and once again, you took everybody in.
Yes, Austin, I'm sure you know this isn't something I kid around about.
I know. Reed, do you think I could ever become a professional impressionist?
Well, I suppose I could teach you, but it's not as simple as that. I mean, first one must have the calling, then you're cloistered away and you become a novice, then a journeyman, and finally, after years of practice and hard work, you are ordained. And it's only then that you have earned the right to be called professional impressionist.
I can't think of anything more worthwhile I could do with my life.
So true, my son, but the lessons are expensive.
Very expensive?
More than the grains of sand awash on the winds of time beside the sea that is eternity.
How much is that?
A buttload.
I'd like to think about it.
My son, there is nothing except time.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, back to Romeo and Juliet.
Hey, Romeo, isn't this a great party?
I can't see anything back here. I look ridiculous.
No, you look great.
Oh, if somebody catches us, we're going to get brained. My family hates the Montagues.
Your family is the Montagues, imbecile. You hate the Capulets.
I can never keep that straight. It's like, is it feed a cold and starve a fever, or starve a cold and feed a fever?
Don't worry. Nobody will recognize you in this costume. Just keep quiet back there. Oh, hey, here comes Juliet.
Oh, man. But soft, what light through yonder window?
No, that speech comes later.
Oh, yeah. She doth teach the torches to burn bright. It seems she hangs upon the cheek of night like a rich jewel in an Ethiope's ear.
Are you on drugs or something?
No, I'm in love with Juliet.
What was all that about Ethiope's ears? You sound like you're stoned.
That's poetry, man. Back off.
Hello, my name is Juliet.
Oh, hi, my name is Romeo. Did you fart?
What?
No, I was talking to Benvolio.
Sorry.
What are you dressed as?
The back half of a horse. Hey, cut it out!
Sorry.
What are you dressed as?
Catherine the Great.
Great. Want to ride?
I sure do. When this shindig's over, meet me at my balcony. Adieu.
Man, you are so smooth. How do you do it?
Well, it takes years of training, and first one must have the calling. But enough of that. I've got a ride.
Ah, bet you do. Here, take these coconut shells and hit them together. I'm tired.
I get it. Hi-ho me! Away!
Hello, this is Milton Keynes in Barry St. Edmunds, and it appears that Romeo and Juliet are about to do the deed. But just how active were teenagers in the 1600s? Here's what a few Elizabethan teens had to say.
You know, back when I was a teenager, people weren't as open about sex as they are today. Other than Catholic priests, nobody had sex outside of marriage, or if they did, they sure didn't talk about it.
He said that? He's totally wrong. There was just as much sex then as now, and certainly in my peer group, it was about the only thing we talked about. No, we didn't have MTV and Playboy magazine, but, hey, we were all Boy Scouts, and our troop leaders took great pleasure in demonstrating how everything worked.
As young ladies, we were certainly concerned about our reputations, but we were also concerned about disease and birth control. The only contraceptive pill we had was an aspirin held between our knees. That's a little joke. You have to visualize it.
Back in the old days, the young men used to have what we called contraception stones. You see, you just took a little rock, you put it in your shoe, and it made you limp. I called mine Geronimo.
Hello, once again, this is Milton Keynes and Barry St. Edmunds, and from the people we surveyed, it sure seems that sex between Romeo and Juliet is a strong possibility. Our very own Barry St. Edmunds in Milton Keynes has checked with Ladbrokes for the odds. Come in, Barry St. Edmunds.
Thank you, Milton Keynes. As I look at the board here, I can tell you that kissing and hand-holding are the odds-on favorites at 1-2. Above-the-waist petting is even money, and despite the opinion of those other Elizabethan teenagers, it's still long odds on Romeo and Juliet cupping a little gaga on the first date at 14-1. And now back to Milton Keynes and Barry St. Edmunds.
Thank you, Barry St. Edmunds and Milton Keynes. I am going to be transferring over to Kirk Smeaton in just a... Whoa! There's the bell, and they're off! Let's go to the balcony and see how things are progressing.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun.
Standard opening, no surprises.
I've always relied on the kindness of strangers.
Stella!
Oh, a surprise there.
I can't leave you, Rick.
Look, sweetheart, you're going to get on that plane, because if you don't, you'll regret it. Not today, not tomorrow, but soon, and for the rest of your life.
And now Romeo in trench coat and fedora is climbing the balcony, and I think he's going to make his move. Juliet in the traditional virgin white seems to be making no attempt to fend off this advance.
Hurry, Romeo, hurry, hurry!
I'm almost there, I just need to get a leg over.
Juliet! Oh, no, it's my nurse!
Juliet,
it's my nurse! Romeo, quick, hide!
No!
Juliet, what the hell are you up to out there? Get your virginal butt in here!
Okay, nurse, I'll be right there!
Did I hear you talking to a boy?
No!
All right, just hurry on in before I whip your little virginal
butt. Whip my little virginal butt. I know, Romeo! Psst, psst, Romeo, Romeo! You gotta get out of here. You must away.
What do you mean, I must away? You can't leave me with this swelling. It's unhealthy.
Oh, dear, swelling. Let's see, swelling. Apply ice and elevate.
Elevate?
Looks like you've done that already.
Yeah.
Well, here's some ice.
Even completely undiscerning listeners will recognize the previous sound as our sound effect of the day. Remember, the first listener to call in will win this fabulous prize.
What is it exactly?
I don't know, but it would be great for camping.
Or the stomach flu.
Why are we whispering?
Thank you. Now, joining us in the studio is that famous 16th century sex therapist, Dr. Ruth. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you!
As a world-famous sex therapist, what do you see as the main hurdles that teenagers like Romeo and Juliet need to clear regarding sex?
Well, before rushing into a physical relationship, people should take the time to get to know one another. I think that many teenagers feel the need to rush into sexual relations, and this, I think, is a bad thing.
A bad thing?
Yeah. Potential partners must be absolutely frank with one another. If you could roll the tape, we could listen to an example of how Romeo and Juliet could get to know one another, even in a sleazy Elizabethan singles bar. The key is to be charming, but not to give the standard answers to the standard pickup lines. Roll the tape, bitte.
Hey there, beautiful. Can I buy you a grog?
Only if I can buy the next round, because if you buy all the grog, you're in a position of power, like I owe you something, and frankly, at this point, I don't know you well enough to trust you.
What's a nice maiden like you doing in a tavern like this?
I'm trying to find a husband, but I'm acting like I'm only out for a casual affair so I don't scare the young knaves off. What brings you here on this beautiful Elizabethan night?
Well, I was wondering, would you like to take a ride on this beautiful Elizabethan night?
Ha ha! A pun, thou art truly a learned gentleman.
Thank you very much.
What occasions this witty mating repartee?
Well, I'm hoping to have a casual affair, but acting like I'm looking for a wife, because otherwise it scares the maidens off. What's your sign?
Dangerous curves ahead. It's clever and suggestive. What's yours?
Slippery when wet. My answer, too, is clever and suggestive. Now I normally tell you what a beautiful dress you have on while I stare at your cleavage.
And I ask if you work out as I size up your package.
Oh, you're so open. Someone who doesn't play any games. Would you like to come over and see my brass rubbings?
Yes, but I need to know your sexual history first. Any diseases?
No, thank you. I have plenty.
Meanwhile, back in Verona, Juliet's father has found out about her dangerous liaison with Romeo.
I don't want to hear another word about it. I forbid you to see Romeo, and that's final. Our family hates the Capulets.
Yeah, we are the Capulets. We hate the Montagues.
That's right. Well, Montague Capulet, whatever. You know what I mean.
Father, it's so silly. What's this feud all about?
It's all about the mean, terrible, shocking behavior of the Montagues. Well, whatever. You know, that other family.
Well, what did they do?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I mean, I don't know.
Well, who does know?
Who does know?
Yeah, who does know?
I know who knows. Your grandfather.
Grandfather?
Yes, grandfather!
Yeah?
Stop playing that organ and get in here!
What is it?
Juliet is wondering how the feud started.
Feud started with the very first animals.
No. How our family feud started.
2:30.
What?
2:30.
No! How our family feud...
All right! What time is it when you go to the dentist?
What time is it when you go to the dentist?
Yeah, 2:30. Get it? 2:30.
Oh.
But, Grandfather, how did our feud begin?
Good question, Nancy.
My name's
Juliet. It all started back when I was just a twinkle in my father's underpants. We were living in Sicily when the feud began. It happened a little something like this.
The following is a dramatic reenactment of the origins of the Capulet-Montague feud. The BBC accepts no responsibility for the herein contained Italian accents. The preceding grandfather character is a theatrical device copyrighted by the Reduced Shakespeare Company. For information on tasty Italian dishes, see Sophia Loren or Gina Lollobrigida in your card catalog.
Hey, Giulione!
What do you want, Romeoli?
What's the matter for you? Why you look so sad?
You want to know why I'm so sad? I'll tell you why I'm so sad. How long have we been engaged?
12 years.
See, engaged 12 years. Don't you think it's time for me to meet you, Mama, and you, Papa?
Oh, no, I don't think that's such a good idea.
Why not?
Well, me and Papa, he's a kind of funny into the head, and me and Mama, well, her heart, it's weak, and she say if I'm a get married, she's a drop dead.
No more excuses. I want to meet them right now, Romeoli, or the wedding, she's off.
Okay, now, when you meet my papa, just don't mention his spaghetti.
Why? What's wrong with his spaghetti?
It's no big. It's just that he wears his spaghetti on his head.
Your papa wears spaghetti on his head?
See, like a toupee. He think it's make him look younger. Whatever you do, don't mention the spaghetti.
Okay, I want to mention the spaghetti.
Grazie.
Prego, now introduce me to him.
Okay.
Hey, papa!
Si, sale!
Come here.
Where?
Here, by the microphone.
Okay, what do you want?
I'm wanting you to meet someone. Papa Montague Giulioni Capuletto, mio fiancé.
Fiancé?
I'm pleased to meet you.
What? You want to marry my son?
Si, I'm in love with him.
Oh, that's too bad. Amore?
Si, papa, it's amore.
Let me ask you a question, Giulioni.
Si, Papa Montague?
What does it feel like when a moon hits your eye?
Like a big pizza pie!
Yep, that's amore. You have my blessing.
I no want your blessing.
So what's wrong with a blessing?
Religion is the opiate of the masses.
So you're a Marxist.
Libertarian anarchist, actually.
That's it! I take back my blessing.
Oh, Papa, don't you worry your head about her opiniones political. She's a rejecter, Stalin and the Trotsky, and you should see what she can do with an ice pick. Oh, Papa, can I marry her? Prego!
All right, son, you have my blessing again.
I love you, Papa. You're so fickle.
Grazie. Maybe she's a good girl after all. She never even mentioned my spaghetti.
Romeoli said not to mention the spaghetti.
Ah, she mentioned the spaghetti!
I told you not to mention the spaghetti!
You told her about the spaghetti! You're a disgrace to the family! Mama!
Papa, no! If a mama she's a find out I'm a get married, she's a drop dead!
Papa Montague, put down that gun! friend!
Hey, mama!
Si, papa!
Get your butt over here!
Where?
Here, by the microphone!
Okay, what do you want?
I'm gonna shoot your son!
Don't be too hard on the boy, papa!
Well, you gotta teach the children the discipline, mama!
I'ma still not think you should shoot him!
But he's a mentioned my spaghetti!
He a mentioned... Hey, give me that gun, I shoot him myself!
No, mama, no!
My God, Romy Ollie, he's a dead! Oh, look, girl, I only grazed his head. He's still breathing. Wake up, Bambino. Wake up, you
snooky-frooky. Oh, mama, I'm a lover. Why don't you slap me?
Oh, Romeoli, thank God you're still alive.
Hey, who's the bimbo?
Mama, this is Giulione Capuleto. She's the girl I'm gonna marry. Oops.
You're gonna marry her? Oh, my God, I'm having a heart attack. Ack.
Well, Giulione Capuleto, I hope you're happy. You've killed Mama Montague.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, smarty, henceforth and forevermore, the Montagues are at war with the Capulettos, tabba-tapping their backs.
Giulione?
Yes, Romeoli?
I'ma love you, but are we gonna have to break it off?
Won't that be extremely painful?
No, I mean break off our engagemento. I'ma still love you, but a feud is a feud, even if it's started by a spaghetti-headed schnooky-frooky like my papa.
That's my boy.
I'ma still love you too, Romeoli.
Arrivederci, Giulione.
Arrivederci, Romeoli.
Arrivederci, papa.
Arrivederci, Mary Ellen.
Arrivederci, John Boy.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Reduced Shakespeare Radio Show providing new insight into the origin of the Capulet-Montague feud.
Reed, I've given it a lot of thought. I've decided I want to dedicate my life towards becoming a professional impressionist.
A life in the service of others is the greatest gift of all. Will you be able to afford the training?
The Lord will provide.
Ah, a man of faith. On the long and arduous road that lies ahead, faith will serve you well.
Will you guys cut it out? You make it sound like a religious experience or something.
Ah, it is my son.
It's, look, I'm not your son, okay? And I think this whole thing is baloney.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is. There's nothing spiritual about doing impressions.
Why does God allow bad things to happen to people?
It's okay. Adam's in a better place now.
Yeah.
And right now, we take you back to Verona, where, while Grandfather sleeps, the nurse helps Juliet plan her marriage to Romeo.
Juliet! Juliet Capulet, where are you?
Shh, you're awake, Grandpa!
Oh, sorry. Listen, I... Oops! Now listen, Juliet, I think I...
Ooh, be careful. Ooh,
sorry about that. I was just trying to say I've got a plan to put an end to this feud.
Really?
Yes. We'll use Elizabethan plot device number 37.
Oh, yeah. Elizabethan plot device number 37. It's simple. The friar secretly marries Romeo and myself, and then Romeo leaves town. The friar gives me a potion that makes me look as if I were dead. That plot device, right?
Right.
Then we send Romeo a message that it's all a trick, but the messenger gets lost along the way, and Romeo never gets the message. We have a funeral,
right?
And then Romeo returns to find me dead and kills himself. I wake up to find Romeo dead, kill myself, and the family settled. Feud.
Yep, it's the oldest plan in the book, but it just might work.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not crazy about the we both kill ourselves
part. But it's so dramatic.
And the friar secretly marries Romeo and me?
Yes.
Hmm. Look, instead of us both marrying the friar, couldn't we marry each other and then just leave town?
That would be a one-act.
One-act? Well, those aren't very popular, are
they? No.
Okay, well, let's give it a try.
Good.
What follows is the slightly exciting conclusion of Romeo and Juliet. Young listeners should be advised that there may be graphic depictions of sex and violence, so they should encourage their parents to leave the room. And now, the conclusion of Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet are married!
Do you, Romeo, take Juliet's blah, 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 blah?
I do.
And you, Juliet, do you take Romeo, blah, 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 blah?
I do.
I now pronounce you man and blah. You may blah the bride.
It's audio footnote time.
Romeo and Juliet were 13 years old. By modern standards, this is shocking, but according to the computer, 13 was almost middle-aged back in the Middle Ages. Discounts for the elderly kicked in at 21, people got married at 13, women gave birth at 9, men went off to war at 5, and the average Englishman died before he was born.
That was audio footnote time!
I love you, Juliet.
I love you too, Romeo. It was a beautiful ceremony. Do you have to leave so soon?
I must. Goodbye, Juliet.
Goodbye, Romeo.
Yee-haw!
Romeo?
Yes?
Hadn't you better go catch your horse?
Good idea. May I borrow your cat?
Of course.
Hi-ho, kitty! Away! Adieu! Adieu!
Asso! What an absurd choice. Romeo's allergic to cats.
Juliet is put into a deep, death-like sleep.
Juliet, this will put you into a deep, death-like sleep.
I know. I just heard. Are you sure it'll work?
Yes, it puts thousands of people to sleep every day. It's called cricket.
Romeo reaches the tomb and finds Juliet dead.
Juliet, are you dead?
Yes.
Then I must die as well.
No, I was just kidding.
Ah!
Oh, no, Romeo, are you dead?
Yes, I am.
Are you kidding?
No.
Then I must die too. Ah! Thump.
Epilogue.
A glooming peace this morning with it brings. The sun for sorrow will not show its head.
Go forth to have more talk of these sad things. Some shall be pardoned and some punished. For never was there a story of more woe than this of Juliet and her Romeo.
And Romeo and Juliet are dead.
Whoa, we know what that bell means, don't we?
We sure do. It means we have only 3 minutes left in this episode.
Well, then that's about it. It's time to sum this thing up.
Yep.
I think what I learned today is that bald is beautiful. Fellas, what have you learned today?
I learned to lift with my legs.
I learned that Vermont means Green Mountain.
And what have we learned about Romeo and Juliet?
I don't think I've learned anything.
No, I can't think of anything.
I didn't think so. And that's why I've asked Dr. Ruth to join us one more time and tell us what we've learned. But first, Dr. Ruth, since nobody called in, we'd like to present you with this, whatchamacallit, as a special gift for appearing on our show today.
Thank you, Adam. I'll use it to heat up my husband's Wiener Schnitzel. But to conclude, I just wanted to point out that Romeo and Juliet illustrates the dangers of unprotected sex. And this, of course, underscores the central dilemma of this play. How do you deal with teenage sex responsibly and still makes the words of Shakespeare interesting?
Well, Dr. Ruth, I think we of the Reduced Shakespeare Company have the answer to that question.
You do?
Yep, and it sounds a little something like this.
Hit it!
Let soft what light through yonder window breaks.
A little rhythm is all it takes. Friends, Romans, countrymen, I pray they rap, rap, and rap again.
William Shakespeare sucks.
Don't be silly. All you gotta do is just rap your willy.
Rap it.
A horse, a horse. My kingdom for a horse. That's a hunchback rapping.
Of course.
If all the world is indeed a stage, you can tell your King John to bend over my page. Kenneth Branagh, rap your willy.
Mel Gibson,
rap your willy.
Emma Thompson, rap your willy.
If you got one.
If we rappers have offended, think but this in all is mended. When we started rapping here, Shakespeare boredom disappeared. If you think our song is crass, you can kiss my lily white tookas. William Shakespeare sucks.
Don't be silly. All you gotta do is just rap your willy.
Three white boys, hear how they rap, hear how they rap.
Their Shakespeare rap is the name of the game.
They flatten the verse and they should be ashamed.
Especially since they sound terribly lame. Like
three white boys.
You and your partner may be star-crossed lovers, but when the heavens rain, remember to wear your rubbers. Whether you use a condom, the inner tube of a tire, or just some plain old plastic wrap, be sure to wrap your willy.
Yo, Romeo!
Wrap your willy!
Verona homeboy!
Wrap your willy!
Wrap, wrap,
wrap your willy!
Wrap, wrap,
wrap, cha-cha-cha!